good. It's good to have good prasad and fall asleep then. Have no prasad and stay up the whole night. So, yeah, the purpose of this retreat is to experience the joy of Krishna consciousness. And one of the most sublime way to experience the joy of Krishna consciousness is by honoring Krishna. Krishna Varadayamai Kolipade Jivhajai Shaprasad Amitabha. Krishna is very kind, and in order to conquer our senses. And of the senses, which one is the most dangerous? The tongue. So if the tongue is controlled, then the rest of the senses will be controlled. So in order to conquer the tongue, Krishna gave Krishna prasad. How to conquer tongue? We honor prasad and sing the glory of Krishna. This is the business of tongue. To taste, to relish food, and to chant the glory of the Lord. Otherwise, the tongue invites death, just as a frog by croaking invites a snake. A frog's arch enemy is a snake, or a snake's most delicious food is a frog. So, the frog croaks, and hearing the sound of the croaking of the frogs, the snake comes and eats it up. So, our business is to conquer death. And it's such a wonderful way of conquering death. By honoring Krishna prasad, by hearing Krishna katha, and by chanting Krishna conscious activities, chanting the wonderful activities of Krishna. Such a simple and sublime, most relishable way. Once Prabhupada said that our business is to dance back to Godhead. When does one dance? When one is happy. Dance is actually an expression, an external expression of inner joy. When internally we feel the joy becomes expressed externally in the form of dance. So we just go back, our business is to go back to the spiritual sky, dancing. That is how wonderful devotional service is. In every situation, a devotee remains joyful. In every situation, he is joyful. And that's what we see with the Pandavas. Apparently, the Pandavas' life is full of misery. They were such exalted birth, the birth in the family that ruled the entire earth planet. But in spite of being born in the family, where they're born? They're born in the mountain, away from the palace, away from the kingdom. In a very austere atmosphere, to live in the mountains is very austere, it's very cold. The food do not grow so abundantly in the mountains. It's cold, it's difficult. Even to get water, you have to really walk for a long distance. And so they were in that situation, apparently. All these are actually apparent situations. Although born from the demigods, not an ordinary person, such exalted. born in a, such an exalted family, born out of such exalted parents, son of Jamaraj, son of Vayu, son of Indra, son of Ashwini Kumar, they're all demigods. And they're actually their sons. And then on top of that, the father dies all of a sudden when they're just little children. Then they're brought back to the royal palace. But there they are suffering so much because their cousins are so envious. From the childhood they develop that animosity towards the Pandavas. So vicious, we can see like how vicious some people can be. Just as a child, Duryodhan is trying to kill Bhima, poison. And then, when they grew up a little bit, at that time, Yudhishthir Maharaj, along with the five brothers and Kunti, were sent to a place as if they were doing them a great favor. Oh, please go for a vacation. But actually it was an arrangement to kill them. Duryodhana just wanted to kill Yudhishthira along with the five brothers. And it seemed that they are dead. So although Kunti is a queen and Pandavas are princes, they are just wandering around as ascetics, Brahmins. But one interesting thing we notice there, that no matter how difficult their situation is, they are having a wonderful time. So this is the life of a devotee. Apparently it seems that they are undergoing so many different hardships. But their life is full of bliss. They themselves are completely happy. How? Because actual happiness is not an external consideration. Actual happiness is not a matter of perception of pleasure by the senses. Somebody may be in a very, very opulent, very comfortable situation, but he may be absolutely unhappy. We see that nowadays. Materially, there is so much prosperity. Most of the people have money. Like I remember when we were young, to have a car meant a rich man. And having facilities like that was not very easily available. But now everybody has a car. Everybody has it. So, say 50 years back, it was a dream. Oh, when I'll get a car. But now you can buy a car and dime a dozen. Everybody has a car. But are they happy? Everybody has so much opulence. I remember when I was young in India, like to earn 1,000 rupees was a lot of money. And we used to call that a 4-figure salary. A 4 digits was called a 4-figure salary. To earn a 4-figure salary meant a big position. Now even the maids in the house earn more than 1,000 rupees a month. Those days, the biggest paid person in India was earning 25,000 rupees. Nowadays, bank clerks earn, office clerks earn that kind of money, 25,000-30,000. So how much time has changed? But did it make people any happier? On the other hand, we see the devotees, apparently they go through so many difficulties. But how the devotees are, look at their face and you know how they are. Ever since you have accepted Krishna consciousness, did your life become more joyful? How many of you think that your life has improved since you became a devotee? So this is the proof. Like, real happiness is not an external consideration, it's an internal state of being. So, yesterday we discussed up to Sabha Parva of Mahabharata. Sabha means assembly hall. What happened in the assembly hall? First, the assembly was built by Maidana, and a unique assembly hall. It is, you see, I didn't mention yesterday about the dimension of that assembly hall. It was about 100 miles long and 50 miles wide. You speak of big time. So this is the kind of assembly hall that was built. As I was telling yesterday, like it took Maidana 14 months to build it, and he collected all kinds of wealth from all over the world to build that. And anyway, and on top of that, it had its mystic effect. But this opulence of the Pandavas simply made Duryodhana and his party more and more envious. So that is the thing about the wicked people. The wicked people are naturally envious of the prosperity of the devotees. When the devotees prosper, the wicked ones' heart begin to burn with envy. They just can't tolerate the opulence of the devotees. And as a result of that, due to their envious nature, what did they do? They simply tried to cause distress to the Pandavas. They deceived them of all their possessions. And then finally they had to leave. Not only leave their kingdom, everything, and went to the forest. At that time, Vidura suggested that let Kunti stay with him, because Kunti was old and she won't be able to tolerate the hardship of forest life. So Kunti stayed back in Hastinapur at Vidura's place. And Subhadra, along with 5 sons of the Pandavas, were sent to Dwarka. And in this way, just taking care of their immediate responsibilities, Pandavas left for the forest. They traveled north. And they only took, it was only 5 Pandavas and Draupadi. And along with them, they took only 14 servants, along with the wives. And they traveled north. While they were leaving for the forest, all the brahmanas just started to follow them. So that night they came on the bank of the Ganges and slept, spent the night there, drinking only water. So next morning, Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling very bad that so many brahmanas are accompanying him, and it is the responsibility of a warrior, a kshatriya, to take care of the brahmanas. Yudhishthira Maharaj used to feed 1,000 brahmanas every day. You know what kind of feeding that was? They were served in golden plates with golden utensils. And they used to be served the most delicious Krishna prasad. That is how Yudhishthira Maharaj used to treat the brahmanas every day. But now all these brahmanas are following him, and he is worried, how is he going to feed them? Because he doesn't have anything. So he begged the brahmanas, please don't follow. Please don't come with us. Because we won't be able to feed you. Brahmanas said, we are brahmanas. We are used to austerities. We don't need anything. We can fast for days. We love to fast. That is the quality of a brahmana. Whatever comes, we are happy with it. If nothing comes, we are happy with that also. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj begged, please. So, when the brahmanas were completely adamant, completely determined to follow him, Yudhishthira Maharaj then approached Dhauma. Dhauma was their family priest. But what to do? Like, they are adamant. They are saying that they can just fast. They don't care for any food or whatever will come to them, naturally they'll be happy with that. But I can't put them in that situation. Then Dhauma told Yudhishthira Maharaj, see how wise the people in Vedic culture used to be. You see, Dhauma's reply was, the sun is the source of all food. Sun is the source of all food. Now you consider how the food generates. Seeds are there, but the seed will need water. How is the water generated? How is the water irrigated all over? How irrigation takes place? Rain. And how does the rain come? The sun makes the water evaporate and form cloud. Then the cloud is dispersed through out. And then, due to condensation, it comes down in the form of water. So first consideration is water. And the second consideration is the rays of the sun. Without the sun's rays, vegetation will not grow. And in this way, he just gave a very scientific explanation of how sun is the source of all food. He actually went even further. You know how? He didn't just mention about vegetation and harvest. He went even further. The vegetations are then eaten by the cows. The grass and other things are eaten by the cows. Cows give milk. From the milk, ghee is made. With the ghee, sacrifice is performed. And as a result of the sacrifice, food comes. So, eventually, Dhoma, after explaining all that, told Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform austerities to please Sun God. So Yudhishthira Maharaj performed austerities, and as a result of his austerities, Sun God became pleased and came to him and asked him, Yudhishthira, what do you want? So he told him about his difficulty. So Sun God gave him a celestial copper pot, copper vessel, and said that, ask Draupadi to cook in this. Whatever she cooks, it will be inexhaustible. That means you take the food from that, it will become replenished again. As you take out, it will automatically become replenished. But then, Draupadi will eat at last. And after Draupadi would eat, then it won't produce any more food for that day. So, with that vessel, receiving that vessel, Yudhishthira Maharaj then gave it to Draupadi, and every day they were feeding thousands of Brahmanas in the middle of the forest. So one problem was solved in this way, and in the meantime, one day, as I told you earlier, that after the Pandavas were sent into exile in the forest, the saintly personalities, the sages from the celestial planet. Celestial planet mean, where do the sages, actual sages live, you know? There are seven planetary systems, seven higher planetary systems. Where are we? We are in the middle of this. We are the lowest of all the higher planetary systems, Earth planet, Bhurloka. Above Bhurloka is Bhuvarloka. Above Bhuvarloka is Swargaloka. Above Swargaloka, Swargaloka is a place where the demigods reside. But above Swargaloka is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. There are different categories of sages, saintly brahmanas. And according to their category, they are in Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and then finally in Brahma's abode, Satyaloka. So the sages came and told Dhritarashtra that it has been an extremely inappropriate act on their part. And the result of that will be extremely, extremely horrible. Dhritarashtra will lose all his children. They all will be dead after 13 years. So you can imagine Dhritarashtra's situation, right? Like the father is being told that all his 100 children are going to die. So in this way, Dhritarashtra was spending his days in extreme anxiety. Now this is another example. Pandavas in the forest, they are enjoying. Dhritarashtra in his palace, he is in constant anxiety. Duryodhan in his palace, the ruler of the earth planet, practically. But his heart is constantly burning. In one hand, his heart is burning with envy, and at the same time, his head is splitting with anxiety. So what is desirable? To live in a palace in that condition, or to live in a simple atmosphere where one can happily spend his days? Actually, there is another consideration why the Pandavas were in that situation. This was, we have to understand that these are Krishna's arrangement. Krishna puts his devotees in such a situation where the saintly personalities can have their association. Those days where the sages and saintly personalities used to live, they used to live in the forest. That's why the Pandavas were in that situation. So that the saintly personalities could have their association and Pandavas also could have the association of the saintly personalities. So, Dhritarashtra being in acute anxiety called Vidura and asked him, Vidura, what to do now? The situation is so critical. So Vidura just, he was a very, he's another personality. He's so straightforward. Like, he just speaks the truth. Doesn't care about others' feelings or such. Whether Dhritarashtra would like it or not, he didn't care. He just, his business is to present the truth. So he told him, that you see, the only way you can reverse the situation is that let Duryodhan give the kingdom back. Make peace with them. Beg forgiveness from them. Let Karna and Shakuni beg forgiveness from all the Pandavas. Let Dushasan fall at Draupadi's feet and beg forgiveness. And let Shakuni, Karna and Dushasan Shakuni, Karna and Dushasan become Yudhishthira Maharaj's servants. Dhritarashtra was extremely upset. He said, you are not my brother, you are not my friend, you are not my well-wisher, you are my enemy. That's why you are speaking like this. And in his anger, he told him to leave the palace. Told him to get out of the palace. Vidura was happy with the opportunity. He just left, went straight to the Pandavas, where the Pandavas were in Kammakavan at that time. So they came, he came and was happy to be with the Pandavas. But Dhritarashtra, after a little while, he realized his mistake. So he sent Sanjay, his secretary, to bring Vidura back. And when Vidura came back and he started to tell them how the Pandavas are doing, like how Bhima, on the third day of the exile, he killed a terrible demon called Kirmira. And he became, and they're having such a happy time. He told us so many brahmanas are with them and they're just spending the whole day practically discussing about Krishna Katha. And Dhritarashtra became even more envious and became afraid because Kirmira, barehanded Bhima killed this Kirmira, a terrible demon who was noted for his prowess. So in this way, we can see that how envious people, wherever they are, they just become more and more envious. And he also told them how These brahmanas are being fed by Yudhishthira Maharaj every day with this celestial vessel that some god gave them, Vivashvan gave them. And Duryodhan and his accomplices were very happy when Vidura left, because Duryodhan couldn't stand Vidura. Because Vidura was, he was a very outspoken person. Right in front of Duryodhan, he would tell Dhritarashtra, but didn't I tell him at the time of birth that you get rid of this character? And so, when Vidura left, Duryodhan, Karna and Shakuni were very happy. Now, they can actually control Dhritarashtra. After all, they had to take the advice of Dhritarashtra and approval of Dhritarashtra. They couldn't just do whatever they wanted, because Dhritarashtra was the king and their father. But when Vidura came back, they became very upset. Why this character came back again? And so they just became very upset, and they decided to attack the Pandavas. They thought that now that they're in the forest, without any support, without any help, let us go and attack them and kill them. So they were just all set to attack the Pandavas in the forest and kill them. But at that time, Vasudev came there and he prevented them from that act. And Vasudev also went and reported to Dhritarashtra, advised Dhritarashtra that how inappropriate this act was and how severe, how ominous the consequence is going to be. So at that time Dhritarashtra begged him, please do something with Duryodhana. He doesn't listen to me. Make him understand. Just don't tell me, tell him. Make him understand. Because I can't control him. So at that time Vasudev said, I won't tell him. But very soon Maitreya Rishi will come, a very exalted sage. Maitreya Rishi will come, and Maitreya Rishi will give him good advice. But if he doesn't listen to him, or rather he said that please tell him that he should listen to Maitreya Rishi. Because Maitreya Rishi is a very, very exalted sage. In the meantime, when the news reached Dwarka, at that time Krishna was not in Dwarka when this happened. The game of dice took place. Krishna was not there. Krishna was fighting with Shalva. You remember during the battle, during the Rajasya sacrifice? Oh, I did not tell you that story, that part of the Mahabharata. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing Rajasya Yajna, Krishna killed Shishupal. Shishupal was Krishna's cousin. But Shishupal was extremely envious about Krishna. He would always blaspheme Krishna. So in that sacrifice, the greatest honor was offered to Krishna. Argha was offered to Krishna. Actually, the Argha is offered to the most respected person. So Argha was offered to Krishna. But Shishupal became very upset with that. He said, why it has been offered to Krishna? like in which calculation? If it is according to age, then Krishna's father Vasudeva is present here. So Krishna doesn't deserve if it is, if the calculation is according to age. If the calculation is according to one's character and activities, then so there are so many exalted personalities. If it is according to wisdom, then there are sages like Narada and Vyasa are here. So he gave different calculations, like which one's greatness is calculated, and according to that Krishna was not fit. Like with any material calculation, we cannot actually measure Krishna's greatness. So, and then he started to blaspheme him, saying that he is a debauchee, no one knows about his birth, no one knows whether he is a Vaishya or a Kshatriya. And all are actually true. Nobody knows Krishna's birth because Krishna is never born. Krishna is neither a Vaishya nor a Kshatriya. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so at that time, some very interesting episode actually took place. Bhishma, at that time, when he called Krishna a debauchee, Bhishma said, the whole world knows me as a celibate. I am celebrated all over the world because of my vow of celibacy. And I worship this Krishna. Because he is the greatest brahmachari. So, in this way, and at that time, Sahadev actually made an announcement. He said that if anybody questions Krishna's greatness, I kick him on his head. And they were about to attack Shishupal, but Krishna said, no, don't worry, stop, let him. And then finally, Krishna invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, and Sudarshan Chakra severed his head. At that time, everyone saw a wonderful sight. His spirit soul, Shishupal's spirit soul, came out of his body like a spark, effulgent spark, and then it merged into Krishna's body. Anyway, so because Shishupal was killed by Krishna, Shishupal's friend Shalva became very, very upset. And he decided to attack Krishna. So, because of that, Krishna was not present. So the news reached then there in Dwarka. So all of the Jadus came to see Krishna, Pandavas in the forest, along with Krishna. And Krishna told, unfortunately I was not there at the time. Otherwise I would have stopped this game of dice. But then Krishna told that it's only a matter of time. In course of time, the battle will take place. In that battle, the final decision will be made. And at that time, different people took vows. Shikhandi took a vow that he would kill Bhishma. Drishtadyumna took a vow that he would kill Dronacharya. Bhima killed a vow that he would kill Duryodhana. And Arjun took a vow that he would kill Karna. So we can see that already the sin was set. They took their vow and they naturally would act in order to fulfill their promises. Then Vasudev came to the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and advised him to prepare for the battle. And in order to prepare for the battle, Arjun should go to the heavenly planet and get all the celestial weapons. Arjun should try to get all the celestial weapons. So Yudhishthira Maharaj told that to Arjun. So Arjun left the north. And after crossing the Himalayas, he came to a region which was completely empty. And when he was proceeding in that region, beyond the Himalayas, that means not, we have to understand that this is not on the earth planet. It is happening in another region, beyond the region of the earth planet. Beyond Himalaya means beyond the earth planet. Otherwise one can say, one could consider, oh, does it mean that he went to Russia? That was not the consideration. Anyway, so when Arjuna was proceeding, walking, then he heard a voice saying that in this region is meant for the Brahmanas and there is no need to carry weapons here. So please drop your weapons. Arjuna didn't want to comply to that instruction. Arjuna's point was, I haven't come here to drop my weapons. I have come here to gain all the weapons. So why should I drop my weapons? Who are you? And then he saw a sage, emaciated with his austerities, but brilliant with spiritual potency, sitting there, and he was actually telling him. So Arjuna told him that, so when this encounter took place between two of them, then finally this sage disclosed himself as Indra. And he asked Arjuna, so what do you want? Arjuna said, I want all your weapons from the heavenly planet. Indra said, okay, I will give you that. But first you have to please Mahadev, Lord Shiva. And then only, so you perform austerities to please Lord Shiva, and then I will come and give you the weapons. So Arjuna lived just on air. That means he's only breathed, didn't eat, didn't drink anything. And he performed austerities for 4 months. And then finally one day Lord Shiva came. When Arjuna was actually performing austerity, sitting down in meditation. So Lord Shiva came to him. At that time there is a demon called Mukha, assuming the form of a boar, was about to attack Arjuna. So when Arjuna saw the boar is charging towards him, he picked up his bow and arrow and aimed at the boar. And at that time, Lord Shiva assumed the form of a hunter, Kirat, and told Arjuna that, look, I aimed at that boar first, so you don't shoot your arrow. So Arjuna didn't listen, and both the arrows pierced the body of the boar and killed him. And so as a result of that, the fight ensued between this hunter and Arjuna. Arjuna thought it was just an ordinary hunter. He said, who is he to tell me whether to shoot at this boar or not? So Arjuna started to fight with him. So Lord Shiva, as a hunter, took away his bow from his hand. Then Arjuna pulled out his sword and hit him on the head. And his sword broke into pieces. So when Arjun did not have any weapon to fight with, he with his bare fist he started to hit the hunter. But nothing happened to the hunter. So finally Arjun, in utter desperation, he started to worship Lord Shiva. He offered him a garland. And when he offered the garland to Lord Shiva, he found the next thing, that garland is on top of the crown of that hunter. So then he realized that this is Lord Shiva. And so he started to offer his prayers to Lord Shiva. Being very pleased with him, Lord Shiva gave him his weapon, which is known as Pashupat. Brahmastra, Arjun already had Brahmastra. But this weapon is even superior to Brahmastra. Brahmastra means weapon of Lord Brahma. Now Lord Shiva's position is even above Lord Brahma. So his weapon is even superior to Brahmastra. So Arjun acquired that. And after Lord Shiva left, Varuna came along with his associates. Then Kuvera came, and Varuna, Kuvera, Vayu, and Indra, they all came. And they gave their weapons. Like, Varuna gave him the noose. The noose is a kind of a thing. Varuna's noose can bind anybody. You have to just release that and the noose will bind that person. And then Kuvera gave him a weapon which is called Antardhan. Antardhan, this weapon, if it is released against the enemies will fall asleep. And not Vayu, but Jamaraj actually came and gave him the mess. Jamaraj has a mess. He gave him the mess. And when he asked Indra for the weapon, Indra at that time told him that he would send his chariot and take him to the heavenly planet. So he would send him the chariot. So Arjun was waiting for the then Arjun was taken to the heavenly planet. And Arjun stayed there for a long time. And when he was in the heavenly planet, Indra treated him just like his son. When Indra would attend the court, in his throne he would make Arjun sit next to him. Like Arjun was sitting on the throne of the demigods. Indra gave him he asked his friend Chitrasen, the king of the Gandharvas, to teach Arjun the art of music and dancing. And then one day when Urvashi came to the court, Indra's court, Arjun just kept on looking at her. And seeing that, Indra thought that Arjun is attracted to Urvashi's beauty. Who is Urvashi? Urvashi is the most beautiful celestial damsel, Apsara. These Apsaras are the most beautiful creatures who simply give pleasure to the demigods. They're meant for providing pleasure to the demigods. And in heavenly planet, this kind of relationship is all right, because anyway, so this is, so when Indra saw Arjun looking at Urvashi like that, so he thought that probably Arjun desired Urvashi. So he told Urvashi, Indra told Urvashi to go to Arjun at night. So when Urvashi approached Arjun, Arjun told her that he looks at her as his mother. And then Urvashi said, see, in the heavenly planet, we have these kind of relationships, which is perfectly all right. Then, but Arjun disclosed how, why he looked, because Urvashi was the originator of their dynasty. Purarva and Urvashi was the originator of the Soma dynasty. And but Urvashi became so upset with Arjun, she cursed him that since you are behaving in this way, you will become an eunuch for 1 year. You'll become an eunuch for 1 year. And so when Indra, Arjun reported that to Indra, Indra said, don't worry. It will act to your favor. For the 1 year that you have to remain incognito, at that time you accept this curse of Urvashi. And nobody will be able to recognize you. So, one day Lomasha Muni came to Yudhishthira Maharaj and told him how he saw that Arjun was sitting on the throne with Indra, and very soon Arjun would come back with all the celestial weapons. So Arjun did come back with all the celestial weapons after some time. And they all were very happy to have Arjun back. So in this way, although in the forest, they were having a wonderful time. And few noticeable incidents that took place in the when they were in the forest was, once Draupadi saw a blue lotus just came flying and with the wind, and it's so extremely fragrant. Then Draupadi went and told Bhima, Bhima, look at this lotus. I want many such lotus like that. Find out where this lotus is bloom and please bring this lotus. And Bhima, because Draupadi had gone through so much difficulties, his attitude was whatever Draupadi wanted, he would just get that for her. So Bhima went in search of this lotus, and he came to the region of Kubera in the Himalayas. But Kubera's guards tried to prevent Bhima. Actually, on the way, a very nice, interesting thing happened. When he was going up the mountain, he found a monkey on the way. So he told the monkey, that, look, get out of my way, otherwise probably you'll get trampled by my feet, under my feet. The monkey said, look, I'm very old. I don't have the strength to move. So maybe you can move me aside and make your way. So Bhima thought this, he'll teach this audacious monkey some lesson. He thought that he'll catch him by his tail and throw him away. But when he tried to pull that monkey, he couldn't even lift his tail. He struggled so hard. So finally he asked him, who are you? He said that I am your brother. I am Hanuman. Because Hanuman also is born of Vayu. So, and this way they had their encounter. And Bhima requested him to help them in their struggle against the Pandavas, Kauravas. Then Hanuman said, yes, during the battle of Kurukshetra, I will stay on the flagpole of Arjuna's chariot. And I will roar so ferociously that the enemies will become nervous. They will become afraid. And that will make Arjuna easy to deal with them. So that is how Hanuman actually was on top of Arjuna's chariot. And anyway, Yudhishthir then pleased Kuvera, Bhima pleased Kuvera also. Kuvera's guards tried to stop Bhima. Bhima killed them, so many of them, and that finally Kuvera came and stopped Bhima. And this way, Bhima was rescued. Bhima received the favor of Kuvera also. Then another incident is that one day they thought that they would go and display their opulence to the Pandavas and make them envious. So when they were in the forest, like the Pandavas in the forest undergoing this difficult time, and Kauravas were leading such opulent life, so they went there with all their wives and entourage. And when they went there, on the way, some Gandharvas stopped them. He said, look, our king is having his bath in the river along with his wives, so please don't come. Then Duryodhan said, who wants to listen to who cares about your king? So who dares to stop our way? And as a result of that, a fight ensued between the Gandharvas and Duryodhan's army. And as a result of that, Duryodhan was captured along with his wives, Duryodhan, Dushasan, his brothers. They all were captured by the Gandharva king. So some of the soldiers who escaped, they went and reported to Yudhishthir Maharaj that Duryodhan has been arrested by the Gandharva king along with his wife. So Yudhishthir Maharaj told Arjun, you go and rescue them. Bhima was jubilant. He said, serves them right. But when he was when he heard about Yudhishthir's order to Bhima, to him and Arjun to rescue them, he was very upset. That why should we rescue them? Like, they have done so much harm to us. At that time, Yudhishthir Maharaj made a wonderful statement. He said, when it is an issue between us, then they are 100 and we are 5. But when it is a matter of dealing with outsiders, we are 100. And he gave the reason that it is the consideration of the family prestige. It is our family members have been arrested. Their wives have been being harassed. So it is our duty to rescue them. Anyway, the Vedic culture is very obedient culture. Whatever the elder brother said, the younger brother followed. So Arjun went and dealt with the Gandharva king. Who is the Gandharva king? Chitrasen, who he befriended when he was in heaven. Chitrasen told him why they actually came, this Kauravas. They came to display their opulence and make them envious. And he said actually Indra sent him to arrest them. So that's why, but Arjun pleaded, no, please release them because Yudhishthir Maharaj. So then Chitrasen released Duryodhan and In that battle, Karna ran away, the big hero. And Duryodhana, he ran away, but Duryodhana and his brothers were arrested. And so being humiliated in this way, like being arrested by the Gandharvas and rescued by Arjuna, Duryodhana decided to give up his life fasting. And he, Shakuni and Dushasan and all tried to persuade him not to do that, but Duryodhana was adamant. So he was fasting to death. He took a vow to fast until death. But at that time, when the demons, they actually got Duryodhana's subtle body to the lower planetary system. And there they told him that how Duryodhana actually is a product of their sacrifice to Lord Shiva to deal with the virtuous ones in this world. Because the demons always have a conflict with the demigods. And he said that if Duryodhana gives up, then they don't have any hope. They also, in this way, they also assured him that when the battle will take place, in that battle, they will possess different personalities. Some different demons will possess Bhishma. Different demons will possess Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and all these celebrated warriors. And as a result of that, they won't have any mercy for the Pandavas. And they would act in an inhuman way, being possessed by the demons. So they told him, don't give up. Victory is yours. We are with you. So then Duryodhana changed his mind and broke his fast and went back to his kingdom. When this news was became known to others, Bhishma actually told Duryodhana to make peace with the Pandavas. He told him, but Duryodhana simply laughed at Bhishma and walked away from there. At that time, Karna went out to conquer all the kings of the world. And Duryodhana wanted to perform a Rajasuya Yajna. But the sages told him, the Brahmanas, that told him that he can't perform a Rajasuya Yajna as long as Yudhishthira Maharaj is present. So they advised him to perform a Vaishnava Yajna. So after defeating all the kings, Duryodhana performed a Vaishnava Yajna. And those who attended the assembly, that sacrifice, they openly started to tell this was not even a fraction of what Yudhishthira Maharaj performed. So time and time again, Duryodhana is being embarrassed and frustrated in this way. When the Pandavas were in the forest, one day Vasudev came to meet them. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked why he has to undergo all these difficulties, although while he is trying his best to situate on the path of righteousness. Then Vasudev actually told them that difficulties and happiness, pleasure and pain in this material nature, they move in cyclic order. One should not become affected by happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. One should simply learn to tolerate and carry on with the ultimate goal of life. Now one thing with Mahabharata is not giving the ultimate understanding of Krishna consciousness. It is kept in a hidden way in Bhagavad Gita. In that verse, Sarva Dharma Karitajya. But we have to understand that the ultimate goal of life is actually, ultimate goal of righteousness is actually sarva dharmam parityajya, Krishna mekam sharanam. But Vasudev gives a hint here through one anecdote. He told him that there was a sage called Mudgala Rishi. And Mudgala Rishi performed severe austerity. And as a result of that, the chariot from heaven came to take Mudgala Rishi to the heavenly planet. So when the messenger from heaven came and told him that he came to take him to heavenly planet, so he asked him, what to tell him about the heavenly planet? What is there in the heavenly planet? So that messenger told him that in the heavenly planet there is this pleasure, that pleasure, you know, so many facilities and so forth. And he says, okay, you know, these are the advantages of heavenly planet. What are the disadvantages of the heavenly planet? So he said, in the heavenly planet, one enjoys as long as one's piety is there, but when his piety gets exhausted, then he falls down from heavenly planet and comes back to the earth planet. So Mudgala Rishi then said, what's the point in going to the heavenly planet? Like, if I have to come back here again, then why to go there at all? Tell me, if there is any situation that is permanent, the messenger of heavenly planet told him about Vishnu Loka, Vaikuntha Loka. So this is how Vasudeva actually gave some indication of Vaikuntha Loka, and the ultimate goal of life is not to be elevated to the heavenly planet, but to be elevated to the spiritual sky. Because due to lack of intelligence and lack of information, people think, generally, the followers of the Vedic culture think that the goal of life is to be elevated to the heavenly planet. And another thing that happened was one day Jayadrath was a friend of Duryodhana, another demon. And Jayadrath was married to Duryodhana's sister, Dushara. So while Jayadrath was going through the forest with his army, he saw Draupadi. And seeing her beauty, he became so enamored that he decided to kidnap Draupadi. And he did that against her will. Forcibly he took her and took her into his chariot and ran away while Pandavas were away. Dhoma, the sage, the family priest, the family guru of the Pandava, he was running after Jayadrath's chariot in total dispersion, not knowing what to do, how to rescue, because he as a Brahmana couldn't stop him. So when the Pandavas saw that the birds were flying and the animals were running in different directions, they thought that something must have happened. So they quickly came back to their palace house, their cottage, and he found that Draupadi has been kidnapped by Jayadrath. So they immediately gave them a chase on their chariot. And soon they got caught up with Jayadrath. And seeing them coming, Jayadrath first tried to counter them, to stop them in a fight. But in that fight, Jayadrath's son was killed. Prince Kitaka was killed. And many of his army were just slaughtered. Many of his soldiers, warriors were slaughtered. And being afraid, Jayadrath left Draupadi and ran away and in his chariot. He dropped Draupadi, thinking that she would be a cause of greater distress. So Yudhishthir Maharaj took Draupadi and Dhoma and went back to the ashram. And he told Bhima not to kill Jayadrath. He said that if you kill Jayadrath, then our sister, our cousin sister, will become a widow. And that will cause great distress to Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. So don't kill him. So Arjuna and Bhima gave a chase. Now these warriors are so valiant that at one point Jayadrath's horse became tired and it couldn't move anymore. So Jayadrath jumped out of the chariot and started to run on foot. So when Jayadrath started to run on foot, Bhima and Arjuna also stepped out of the chariot and she gave him a chase on foot. So you can see how noble those people used to be, those personalities used to be. Like they would not take superior advantage against the opponent. They would rather deal with the opponent on the equal platform. But still, Bhima caught him. And when Bhima caught him, he started to hit him so bad that Jayadrath lost his consciousness. So when he was unconscious, Bhima stopped beating him. But when he came back to his consciousness, Bhima again started to beat him. And it was so terrible the way he was doing that. He grabbed his hair and took him to the stone and kept on smashing his head. Then Arjuna told, look, our elder brother Yudhishthir told not to kill him, please don't kill him. So, then Bhima became upset. He said, for how long we have to tolerate our generosity of our elder brother? So then he said, okay, fine, we won't kill him, but you have to become a slave of Yudhishthir. Come and beg, fall at feet of Draupadi and beg forgiveness. So they took him to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj told him to let him go. But before letting him go, they shaved his head and kept 5 sikhas, indicating that now he has become the slave of 5 masters, the Pandavas. But Jayadrath was so badly insulted that he decided to either please Lord Shiva and be able to kill the Pandavas or give up his life. So eventually Lord Shiva came and asked him, what do you want? Then he said, I want to kill the Pandavas. And Shiva said, that will never happen. Pandavas are invincible. Nobody can defeat them. But one day in a battle, you'll be able to defeat the 4 Pandavas, excluding Arjuna. You'll be able to defeat them one day in a battle. And that benediction from Lord Shiva actually worked at the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra, the day Abhimanyu was killed. Anyway, I'll come to that later. Then one day the Pandavas, when they were in the forest, one sage came to them and said that while his Aruni stick was hanging from a tree, a deer came and that stick with the rope got entwined into his horn, into the horn of the deer, and the deer ran away. Now Aruni stick is a kind of a wood. Just by rubbing that wood, they generate fire. So in the middle of the forest, to generate fire, to ignite fire, this is the only way. So for the sages, this Arunistik was a very, very important asset. So they came and told the Pandavas. So Pandavas said, okay, sure, we'll go and rescue Arjuna from that deer. And while they were chasing that deer, gave the chase to the deer, it was impossible to catch the deer. And they went deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And being completely exhausted, they just gave up and sat down, extremely thirsty. Yudhishthira Maharaj told Sahadev to go and see if there is some water. And Sahadev then climbed up a tall tree and he saw some water birds flying. So from that he could make out that there must be some water. So he went in that direction to fetch water. But when he came to the lake where there he heard a voice saying that I am the proprietor of this lake. Please don't touch this water without taking proper permission from me. If you do, you will die. First you have to answer my questions, and if you can successfully answer those questions, then only you will be allowed to drink the water, take the water. But Sahadev, he was so hungry, so thirsty, exhausted, didn't have the patience, and he completely ignored this voice, and he went to the water, and he was dead. Then, when Sahadev didn't return for a long time, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Nakul to go. Same thing happened to Nakul. He also was dead because he approached the water without answering the questions of this person. And in this way, after Nakul, Arjun and Bhim, all were dead. Finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj went there and he saw all his four brothers are lying there dead, and he was surprised that how could that happen? Because there was no sign of any struggle that somebody fought with them and killed them. And so when he approached the water, then the voice actually said that first you answer my questions, otherwise if you touch the water, you will also follow the same destiny as your brothers. Then he asked, who are you? He said, I am a crane. I live in this water. But actually I am a jaksha. So so his Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, fine, tell me. What are your questions? Then the jaksha asked him, who is the real helpful companion? Who is really a helpful companion? Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer was steady intelligence. Steady intelligence is the really helpful companion. How can one acquire something very great? What is the way to acquire something great? Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer was, by performing austerities only we can achieve something great. Then he said, yes, that's correct. Now tell me, what is nectar? What is nectar? Then Yudhishthira Maharaj answered, cow's milk is nectar. In this respect, there is a very beautiful anecdote with Akbar and Birbal. How many of you are acquainted with Akbar? The king, Mughal king, was noted for his wisdom and justice. And in his court, There was an extremely intelligent person, his name was Birbal. So one day Akbar asked Birbal, "Birbal, what is the best milk?" Birbal said, "Buffalo milk." He said, "No, how can buffalo milk be the best milk? It must be cow's milk." Then Birbal said, "No, buffalo milk." Then finally Birbal told him that cow's milk is not milk, cow's milk is nectar. He asked, "What friend is bestowed upon a man by demigods? What friend the demigods have given to a man? Anybody?" Wow. Very high opinion about yourself. Correct answer. The friend that has been bestowed by a demigod, by the demigods to a man, is his wife. Demigods have given that friend. Because the marriage is, marriage took place in heaven. I was just adding that. For what reason a friend is forsaken? When does one give up a real friend? Because of lust and greed that one gives up his genuine friend. When is a sacrifice considered dead? He asked the question. Yudhishthira Maharaj's reply was that when in a sacrifice the charity is not given to a brahmana, then it is, that sacrifice is useless or dead. Where does the real food come from? What is the real food? Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer was cow. The reason is, for the milk she gives is made into ghee. Ghee is necessary for performance of sacrifice. And it is rain, and it is sacrifice alone that produces the cloud that causes rain to fall. It is from rain that seeds sprout, so that all kinds of food are produced. Therefore, it should be considered that the cow is the root cause of all food. That also reminds me of one incident. When the British were ruling Bengal, Bengal was so full of prosperity. It was so opulent. So, Lord Clive, who was actually the one who established the British colony in India by defeating the king of Bengal, he asked the brahmanas. They used to actually be very wise, very smart. They asked the brahmanas, "What is the root of this prosperity of Bengal?" And the brahmanas said, "The cows. It is the cows." And the number of cows were phenomenal at that time. And at that time, Clive actually made a rule that every day so many cows would be slaughtered. The cow killing actually started by the British in India. Before that, the Muslims also did, but they were not so bad. But the British actually made it a policy to, because they saw that if the prosperity was there, then the people will not surrender. Like how brutal these people used to be. Like in 1942, the British wanted to recruit soldiers from the India. But the Indians won't join the army. So what did the British do? Nationwide, they created a famine by burning all the crops. And as a result of that, the scarcity drove people to join the army. And millions of people died due to that famine. Anyway, what is the real education of a king? The question was. Maharaj Yudhishthira's answer was, what is the king of all education? And his answer was, what is Rajavidya? King of knowledge is? Knowledge about Krishna. Knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the king of all education. Then he asked, what is ignorance? And ignorance is not to know one's constitutional duty. What is the constitutional duty of an individual? The constitutional duty of an individual is to recognize that he is a servant of Krishna. What is the real charity? The real charity is to protect people from the onslaught of material nature. What is the cause of envy? The cause of envy is born out of grief. Grief is the cause of envy. So in this way, Yaksha was asking many questions and Yudhishthira Maharaj answered all his questions. Finally, the Yaksha, who was standing in the middle of the lake in the form of a huge crane, asked four final questions. These questions are actually very, very... The last four questions he asked are very wonderful. Please listen carefully. He asked, who is really happy? Who is really happy? Truly happy? Very good, that is one aspect.
When you have no desire.
Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer was, one who cooks his own food. One who doesn't have any debt. And one who doesn't have to go away from his home to earn his livelihood. So that person is actually happy. What is the most amazing thing? This I'm sure many of you know. Yes, Nishikanta?
Every moment we see people passing away around us, but we don't think of suffering, we don't think that's going to happen to us.
Right. Although we are seeing, what is the most amazing thing? Although we are seeing that so many people have died already in the past, so many people are dying now, so many people will die, everybody will die, but still we think that that's not going to happen to us. That's the most amazing thing. We think that we'll remain here forever. What is the real path to follow in life? The real path of life cannot be ascertained by logic or argument, nor by simply going through the various Vedic literatures. It cannot be even understood by consulting learned rishis. The best path to follow is to follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees of the Lord. For they are actual Mahajanas whose hearts are sitting place for real truth about religion. How many of you remember this verse? That's the last line. But the entire verse? No. The verse goes like Tarko apratishtha shrutaya vibhinna. By logic and argument, one cannot ascertain the real goal of life. Nasho rishi jasya matanna bhinna. By approaching the sages, also we cannot ascertain that. Because they have different opinions about the goal of life. But dharmasya tattam nihitam guhayam. The actual truth of religious principle is hidden in the heart of a devotee. Therefore, mahajano jano gatasya pantha. The real path to follow is to follow in the footsteps of these pure devotees, mahajana.